Yeah, I'm Mark Purdy. I'm basically professionally an organic farmer, but I've become very interested in the effect of man-made chemicals on the nervous system, particularly in the way it causes neurological diseases and psychiatric diseases and diseases of the immune system that seem to be caused by the widespread array of these types of pesticides and toxic chemicals that have been implanted into the food chain over the last 50, 60 years. In a sense, a campaign has emerged from my research work, where I'm trying to stop the use of these chemicals, stop these chemicals actually getting licensed in the first place. I think the first thing is that meat and bone meal, which was blamed for BSE, was actually exported all over the world. It went to countries like Libya and Saudi Arabia, to Malta, to South America, where it was fed in thousands of tons, were fed to the battery dairy herds in those countries. Yet there hasn't been a single case of BSE that's at least been admitted to in those particular countries. And the official body are saying that microdoses of meat and bone meal are causing BSE. But if thousands of tons have gone over to these other countries, then you would get thousands and thousands of cases of BSE. And they're not appearing there. I'm a farmer, so I have a direct experience. My observations of the real world show that the facts that I see don't fit this theory that the government has put forward. And then when you look at the science as well, you see that scientists have done some horrendous animal experiments, which I don't agree with, but on the one hand, they have shown that by feeding massive amounts of this scrapie agent, which is the meat and bone meal ingredient, this doesn't produce BSE disease in the animals that are fed it. And they've done some even more horrendous experiments injecting the scrapie agent into healthy animals. And that too has failed to produce BSE. So, I mean, there are whole rafts of evidence that show that scrapie cannot have caused BSE. I mean, I don't agree with feeding meat and bone meal, and that must have some side effects, but I don't think the side effects are particularly related to the BSE saga. I became very aware of a campaign that was carried out by the Ministry of Agriculture called the Warblefly Eradication Campaign. And under this order, farmers in Great Britain were forced by law to use what's known as a systemic organophosphate poron chemical. And this oil-like pesticide had to be poured along the spinal canal of the cows. And it was designed to penetrate right through the skin of the cows and poison the whole internal environment of the cow into a sort of poisonous medium. Well, this went on from the late 70s through the early part of the 1980s, just before BSE erupted. So the timing seemed to fit the bill. But Britain, Great Britain, was unique in using very high doses of one particular type of organophosphate pesticide. The organophosphates were derived from the military nerve gases, and this in its shelf shows the toxicity of this group of chemicals. But this particular systemic formulation had to be poured along the spine of the cow, and in a sense you're delivering it millimeters from where the damage in BSE actually appears. And in BSE, it seems that all that causes the disease is a change in the molecular conformation of a particular protein called the prion protein that has a very crucial function in maintaining the balance of the nervous system. And so anything to do with the nervous system, which interlinks with the immune system, the psychiatric system, the neurological system, a disturbance at this very basic level will cause exactly the types of symptoms, the brain pathology that you get in the BSE class of diseases. Great Britain was unique in applying massive doses of this particular type of pesticide that was hardly used in any other countries. But it was used a bit in Switzerland, it was used a bit in France and in Ireland. And perhaps it's no coincidence that these three other countries are countries that have a very small amount of BSE. And in fact, their use in these other countries was at a lower dose rate, and also it was voluntary, it wasn't compelled. And I believe that Britain had this massive epidemic was because it was they were compelled to use this chemical at a high dose rate twice a year, and that was exclusive to the UK. Organophosphates originally derived from military nerve gases, which were designed by Adolf Hitler's chemist, Schrader, a guy called Schrader. From then on, they got developed into insecticides because the chemist saw a great commercial potential in selling these same toxic substances for insecticidal use. And so quickly after the Second World War, they became taken up into mainstream agriculture, horticulture, forestry. They're used in the domestic household as part of some of the fly strips. They're used as flea collars on cats. They're used as flame retardants in nightdresses that our children wear. There are a lot of insidious uses of these particular chemicals that the public just are not aware about. The specific type of chemical that was, I think, responsible for the BSE epidemic was a systemic organophosphate containing the ingredient phosmet. And phosmet was a combination of organophosphate plus a thalidomide, which is linked to the infamous thalidomide drug. And what was so perhaps betrayed the perhaps awareness of the chemical industry that this could be connected to BSE was that in March 1996, phosmet was suddenly sold by the owners of the patent at that time, ICI Zeneca. They'd been making it for 15 years. It was suddenly sold to a P.O. box number company in the Arizona desert that was unheard of in sort of chemical industry terms. And in March 1996, when phosmet was sold to Arizona, perhaps it was no coincidence that the government made the announcement that BSE was in humans, which in a sense, on compensation terms, would put it onto a very serious level. Because cows is one thing, but when the disease was starting off in humans, should the cause of the disease be linked back to phosmet, then that would be crippling in terms of compensation. When you're exposed to the chemical, your nerves go into overdrive. Too much of the nerve chemical messenger is secreted across synapses, which are the gaps between the nerves, so that you go into overdrive. You start salivating a lot, you start sweating, you get a tremor, you get neuralgic type shooting pains in your hands, a kind of numbness in the ends of the fingers, intestinal problems, your guts starts moving flat out, severe diarrhea. And then it moves more onto central nervous problems where you might become paranoid or extremely aggressive. So the symptoms are really very wide-ranging, ranging from wherever the nervous system supplies, whether it's the psychiatric centres, whether it's the glands, whether it's the digestive tract, even the heart. The heart has been known to go into irregular beats, and some farmers have had heart attacks after exposure to these chemicals. Other farmers have had problems with breathing. The breathing goes into, and some people have died as a result of the diaphragm paralyzing and the breathing stopping, because it hits right at the center of the central nervous system, the brainstem. It hits the peripheral nervous system and the autonomic nervous system. So you can see there's not much left that organophosphates don't touch in the human body. That there is a strong genetic susceptibility element to any disease, whether it's a cancer or a neurological disease like multiple sclerosis. We're all born with weaknesses in our body just through our genetic makeup. But the actual determination as to whether we're going to get that disease in our lives is linked to what we encounter, what we're challenged by in our daily environment. And as the use of a whole bizarre range of chemicals has increased in our environment, that's been triggering off diseases, perhaps to surface earlier in people in the modern world. And the chemicals are not only used, you know, they're used in farming, they're put into the source of the food chain. From there, they're getting into the water supplies, they're in the rain. I mean, they're appearing in as far away areas such as Iceland, affecting the polar bears. They get into the fat of animals throughout the entire food chain, build up the food chain, which was well evidenced by the effects of DDT in the middle of last century. In the modern world, I mean, I think it's become very apparent that, you know, I run an organic farm where I'm not putting in a whole sort of array of chemicals into my cattle. And literally, our vet bill 2 years ago was only £60, which I think a lot of farmers just wouldn't believe it, you know. We have TB in some of the herds around us. Those cattle are, you know, having those badgers, the cattle are having contact with my cows, but that my cows aren't getting TB. They always pass the test because I believe their immune systems are intact. They have a healthy immune system. Because a lot of the chemicals that are used in modern agriculture, they attack directly at the T cells, which is the fundamental mainstay of the immune system. And if you take those away, then a whole range of viruses, bacteria that are endemic in our environment will suddenly get a hold. That's why once you've damaged the immune system, then you can get a whole load of viruses. But I think the establishment is very quick to blame the virus because as the primary cause, you know, the virus is the primary cause because nobody's responsible for a virus. It's not yet mass manufactured, so no one can be held accountable. So it's a very convenient scapegoat to blame a virus. A lot of ME sufferers find that they have a whole host of bacteria and viruses that have taken a hold in their systems. And they've never found one single virus to pin, to cause the blame on. And this is classic of a case where there's been an immune wipeout, so that any virus that is endemic in their particular environment just gets in there. And this is, in a sense, it shows the futility of some of, for instance, the vaccination programs that our children are being subjected to. Because those children, what we need to concentrate on is maintaining a healthy immune system so they can survive the daily challenge of E. coli or Coxsackie or whatever's in their particular environment. The answer to good health is nurturing a healthy immune system. And it's not sort of vaccinating people against things that are all around us. I mean, meningitis is living in most of our throats all the time. And someone gets meningitis when they're exposed to something that destroys the immune response in the saliva, the antibodies in the saliva. One of the key areas that organophosphates hit is a neurotransmitter, a sort of hormone in the brain called serotonin. And organophosphates actually sort of at low levels burn off the endings of this serotonin. And serotonin sort of presides over the whole immune system, the immune response system. It presides over the amount of lymphocytes that are released into the circulation, both the T lymphocytes and the B lymphocytes. And it is through a disruption of the lymphocyte system that you get what's called sensitization, and this is the seeding of allergies that are occurring very frequently now in humanity. For instance, allergies like asthma, eczema, irritable bowel syndrome. At the skin surfaces, it seems becoming very apparent that somehow we can no longer cope with innocuous substances that we come into touch with in daily life. For instance, house dust, pollen, things that normally we could withstand suddenly become highly toxic and dangerous substances that start triggering off allergy reactions. And this is caused, I believe, by an underlying disturbance to this serotonin system, which is exactly where organophosphates strike. And in fact, it's enshrined into the medical literature, the way organophosphates interact with this serotonin hormone in the brain and cause this very disturbance, which is definitely at the root of the allergic reaction. Other problems that can be caused are the fact that the organophosphates themselves bond onto proteins and into fats in parts of the brain, in membranes, in the body. And when they bond onto, say, a protein, that protein takes on a higher molecular weight, it becomes heavier. And the way the immune system works is that when a protein is too heavy, the immune system, the B lymphocytes, see that protein as an alien because it's too heavy for what the body should normally have inside it. And so the B lymphocytes attack that protein and start destroying it and cause what is known as an autoimmune reaction. A very good example of this is multiple sclerosis, where in the brain, the myelin sheath, which is a sort of group of proteins that insulate the nerves, they become attacked by the B lymphocytes in a relapse in multiple sclerosis. And in fact, a lot of pesticides, not just organophosphates, are known to bond on to this myelin protein. And because they're known to bond onto it, they're going to increase the molecular weight of these proteins. And therefore, that tricks the body, the B lymphocytes, into attacking that protein because they think it's foreign. They think it's something that shouldn't be inside the brain. So they attack it and destroy it and strip away this myelin sheath, which is the insulation of the nerves. So nerves can no longer conduct their impulses. They're not insulated anymore. So the impulse system collapses, and that's essentially what you get in multiple sclerosis. So it's very disturbing, this whole range of symptoms that pesticides such as organophosphates can create, both the allergic type of responses and the autoimmune types of responses. In 1984, my own organic farm, I got a visit from a ministry lady one morning, and she said, "You've got to treat." My gut feeling was I'm not treating with a substance I knew was derived from a military nerve gas. So the upshot was a high court case, a judicial review, which to my surprise, I won. And I didn't have to treat my cows. But we managed to win on a terminological flaw in the Animal Diseases Act, where it transpired that the ministry had been acting totally illegally on every farm where they'd been forcing use of these organophosphate types of chemicals, whether it was for sheep dip or for the warble fly treatment, which were both compulsory measures in the UK. Because in the Animal Diseases Act, it said that the ministry were only empowered to force treatment with a vaccine or a serum. And we argued in the High Court that they were neither using a vaccine or a serum. An organophosphate was a chemical dressing. Therefore, this quashed that part of the Animal Diseases Act. This was a compulsory order. And should it be proved that organophosphates even played a role in the cause of the BSE epidemic, the financial damages against the government would be sufficient, according to my MP, to actually break the whole economy of the country. I mean, look what asbestosis did with the Lloyds effect. And I think this is the reason why the government have, perhaps privately, they've mounted a very effective campaign to discredit me and my sort of kudos. And this has been mounted on clearly on quite a lot of levels to try and dissuade particularly the media. A lot of the editors at the media have been approached by MAF. There have been meetings that have largely concentrated on my particular theory, where senior science editors from all the newspapers have been informed that my work is completely absolute rubbish. And they do this by misrepresenting my work to the editors, because I'm not there, I'm not present, I'm unable to put it right and say, no, this is not my theory, you are knocking down my theory on a misrepresented version of my theory, you know. And because I'm absent, it tends to win the day, and the editors of the newspapers, which is the so-called democratic voice of our country, they're fed this complete rubbish and they believe it. I think with the government and the chemical industry, there seems to be that they're dealing with BSE in a very suspicious way. It's sort of very insidious. A lot of awfully sort of bizarre, strange things have happened at certain times, which this has happened all over the world, that suggests that they're extremely worried about something about BSE getting out, something that they're obviously well aware. For instance, my solicitor, who this could be total coincidence, of course, but several people, professional people who've been involved with me, have actually died in car accidents, in all of a similar type of accident. My solicitor, who was driving along a straight piece of road, he's the one who won my High Court case. He also did cases when it was in the days of fighting against the sort of nuclear industry. His car went out of control going along a straight piece of road, and it went into a wall and he was killed. This was put down to his car aquaplaning on water. My vet, who I was trying to get hold of some brain tissue from a cow that I had here that died of mad cow disease, and my vet was quoted in the Independent newspaper saying that we must test Mr. Purdy's theory to see if we can come to any conclusion. It needs testing, he said. A few days later, his car, going along a straight piece of road, went straight into the front of an oncoming lorry. The lorry driver was quoted in the local paper saying it was as though his car was magnetised into the front of my lorry. And the local papal article was headed Mystery Death Vet Riddle. Around the same time, a scientist who discovered that new variant CJD had been around for a lot longer than the government had been suggesting, he published a paper on this, and he had a brain bank at Chelmsford. He was found in February 1996, which was just before the March 1996 announcement that BSE had got into humans. His Jeep was found down an embankment, and he was found dead. He was around 40 years old. This was put down to a heart attack. Myself and family, we had experienced a catalogue of just very bizarre happenings, particularly during the second half of the 1980s, after my High Court case. Things like our once-in-a-lifetime disasters would happen every single year, you know, several times a year. Bizarre things, like our house was suddenly arsoned completely to the ground for no accountable reason. One day, just before a breakthrough newspaper article about a cow I had that broke the government's theory on BSE, it was about to appear in the Independent on Thursday morning. On the Wednesday night, our phone lines were vandalised down our drive, and we found them just cut and lying all the way down the front drive. So that muzzled me from the follow-up media that you always get from this type of article. And that effectively work very well. I've been inundated with visits from extremely strange individuals, often under the guise of being journalists or just victims of chemicals, and they seem to turn up to try and find out, they seem more interested in finding out information out of you, or disturbing your particular campaign. A lot of them behave in a kind of psychotic way, which is quite worrying when you've got kids around. And at one stage, there was a supposed journalist visiting a whole group of us involved in the organophosphate campaign. And he actually broke one of the key campaigners' husband's hand because he did martial arts. They couldn't sue him for GBH because he was under Section 2 of the Mental Health Act at that time. And so this guy had broken out of a mental hospital, was going around all the key campaigners against organophosphates, driving their lives into absolute chaos immediately before a major decision was being made in Parliament by Gillian Shepherd as to whether to ban cheap dips or not ban. And this clearly was a very well orchestrated campaign to disturb, to muddle, confuse the key organophosphate campaigners just at a time when that they needed to pursue a coherent and forceful campaign to get Gillian Shepherd to ban these damn substances. And I can see why, what the games that the other side are playing. And they're using particularly sort of distasteful, violent, psychologically intimidating techniques to keep people quiet or just make their campaign ineffective. They clearly know all about you and your personality before you arrive, because they try the trick of making you feel easy by, for instance, talking about poetry, you know, or talking about saxophone playing. They know bloody well that I am a saxophone player and I like poetry, and they've been trained to come and make open me up by just making me feel easy, you know. And they're not very good actors, you know, you can see through them very easily. I would say it's almost certainly the chemical industries are behind it. They employ these sort of detective agencies who carry out surveillance on people such as myself, try to find out what we're up to. And then they work out how best to be very destructive. And they get particularly worried about people in a professional capacity, like if a doctor comes onto your side, then that becomes a great threat to them. The detective agency that were behind the murder of Hilton Morel were linked to an extreme right-wing group, and I think I've come up against this same body of people shortly after I had a high court case with the government, because similar individuals who were involved in this case, so I've been informed by good sources, have told me that they were certainly very active in the second half of the 80s. The chemical industry have been, much like in America, operating this system where they know that to win a particular battle over compensation, it's best to have someone planted on both sides of the chessboard. Then you can control the game and determine who's going to win. And certainly in this country, there are these information networks, or rather should I say disinformation networks, set up by people who are made to look very green. They pick very convincing individuals. And these people infiltrate campaigns on environmental issues. They become particularly interested when issues of compensation arise, such as the Camelford water disaster in Cornwall, where the aluminium sulphate put into the water supplies was blamed on ill health, potential for massive compensation claims. These information networks hit these types of campaigns. They're very convincing individuals. They have the gift of the gab, social skills. They get onto the platform. People think, just what we need, you know. And these individuals work with firms of lawyers. that are set up to offer legal services to the victims who are seeking compensation, when sadly these same legal firms, which seem to pop up in all these different cases, they proceed to lose every single case. And I think this is a serious problem that I think people who get involved in environmental issues and compensation claims should be aware that this kind of very dirty trick is going on, and that people who you think are your friends are in fact the enemy within. I mean, this is a danger. One can get very paranoid, and it's often hard to speak about these things, because if the other side can set you up as a paranoiac, then in a sense that's one, it's a sort of battle won in their campaign to discredit you. Organophosphate sheep dips are hardly used at all now. And just recently, Baroness Hayman, the Minister of Research, actually had all the organophosphate products used for sheep dip recalled off the market. Admittedly, this was only on the basis of that the packaging of the chemical was unsafe. But if that is a way in which the government can get the stuff off the market, then that is brilliant. If that helps them, then let them do it that way. Clearly, the chemical industries have sailed very close to the wind with organophosphates, because the legacy of their use has been so horrendous, not just in the poor sheep dip victims who suffered a whole bizarre array of neurological side effects from using sheep dip, but in the whole BSE saga as well. I mean, the chemical industry have taken themselves very close to the line in the wholesale sale of organophosphates that they put into the food chain in the 70s and the 80s. So I think that in itself is going to mean that they've made a silent retreat. We have won the battle, but it's sadly taken, you know, 2-3 decades of widespread use before we achieved what we wanted to achieve. The first thing they can do is obviously become aware of where organophosphates are used, and particularly in relation to their diet. Buy organic if they can afford it. And that will help support producing these chemicals without using organophosphates. They can change their own lifestyles, because they might be using organophosphates unwittingly, just because they're not informed of where the chemicals are used. For instance, they're used as a flame retardant in cot mattresses, in children's nightdresses, blankets, that kind of thing. They're also used as additives to hydraulic oil. People have gone into paralysis syndromes as a result of handling hydraulic oil. And the recent scare was over the organophosphate additives in the oil in aircraft. So the cabins were actually filling up with very low levels of very potent organophosphate, making cabin crew chronically sick. Passengers presumably would get too small a dose to actually get ill. Yes, I mean, organophosphates are used very insidiously. You know, that they penetrated every stage of the food chain. They put onto seeds, all stages of the growing crop, and even used as post-harvest treatments, where they're actually put on crops to give them a longer shelf life. And I think the more aware one is of their particular range of use, then that enables you to cut them out or to write to authorities, MPs, county councils, and lobby them that these chemicals shouldn't be used, and that we're not happy with them being used. Also, they're used still as head lice shampoos for children, and councils are still writing round to parents advising them to treat with these chemical head lice dressings. And I think it's time to knock that particular avenue of organophosphate use on the head once and for all. Our only revolution is to stop supporting the use of these chemicals in from whatever direction, by not buying the products the chemicals are being put into, by not using them ourselves. Don't subscribe to an organophosphate lifestyle in any way at all. That is the way to get these chemicals finally taken out of our food chain.